This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Now, here's Frank Morano.
Well, it's no secret the Middle East is on edge after the Iranian attacks on Israel over the weekend. Thankfully, they seem to largely have been ineffective. There were some serious injuries, which I'm not downplaying, but it was nowhere near the level of destruction that we could have expected, but for the Iron Dome and some help from the United States and other governments. So thankfully, hopefully this is the end of this for a little while. We'll see what's next. The Middle East being what it is, it's incredibly volatile, and we are going to be monitoring that while we're on air. And if anything unfolds, I'm going to bring it to you. Not necessarily sure how much more I can add to the situation that you haven't already heard. I'll certainly tell you what's happening or if anything, anything breaks. But a guy that's been doing a great job on this and a host of other issues is a veteran broadcast journalist, good friend of mine and a colleague, Dominic Carter. Hello, Dominic.
Hello, Mr. 44.
you can still just call me Frank because you knew me before.
No. You're like in Reggie Jackson territory.
That's right.
And 44
and Hank Aaron, right? So
that's right.
There you go.
Tell them why. Yeah. Tell them why. Don't be modest now. Why you're number 44? Don't be modest now.
Yes. If you haven't heard, Dominic is alluding to the fact that I am the 44th best talk show host in America, or the 44th most important talk show host in America, according to Talkers Magazine, which of course means there are at least 43 people that are more important than I am.
But you're on the list, 44.
Exactly.
You're on the list. Hey,
Dominic, I want to pick your brain on a couple of different items.
Are you being shy?
No.
Don't be shy.
I mean, I don't know how much farther the conversation goes of, oh, look at me. How great am I?
Hey, everybody else does it, right? Everyone else does.
Let me ask you about a guy that really has had a terrific career. It's funny to look back at the 1980s as vintage, but it was 35, 40 years ago.
Wow.
It's amazing to think about. When we were in the 90s listening to 50s music, that's how people today view 80s music. The same amount of time has passed from the 50s to the 90s as when we were listening to 50s music in the 90s, which is an incredible thing. Guy that was a huge star, it's still a huge star, although he's had some serious health issues, obviously. Big star as an actor with the Back to the Future franchise and with Family Ties was Michael J. Fox. He has made some really interesting comments on the issue of fame. Because you've been in the public eye, I would say at this point, for the majority of your life at this point, I want to ask you about what Michael J. Fox said. So he essentially said that celebrities who became famous during the 80s were much tougher than the ones rising through the ranks of stardom now, thanks to social media. Michael J. Fox, he became one of the most popular stars of Hollywood during that decade because of some of the things that I just mentioned. And he said,
it is an expression that it referred to when they gave me an honorary Academy Award. Somebody said to me the day before, said they were talking about getting this award and being famous, and they say, you were 80s famous. I thought, wow, that's cool, 80s famous. Right, we were tougher. We didn't have social media, we didn't have any of that crap. We were just famous, left our own resources. And it was an amazing time.
So he was asked by People magazine if being famous in the 80s was harder than it is now. And Michael J. Fox says, well, you had to be talented. That helped. He says, we used to bust our ass, our acting muscles, and watch other actors and sit around with other actors and talk about acting and talk about it. And now you've got people who just go like, who's your sweater? What's your sweater you're wearing? And what's that dance step? And you're the most famous person in the world. Dominic, I know you're not an actor, but you're a public person and have been for a while. How much of this is just kind of the typical thing that every generation does of back in my day, we were real, whatever we happen to be. And how much of this is a genuinely appropriate commentary and criticism on how you become famous these days?
Option B. In his time, you had to have talent. Today, all you need is a good sex tape. Good sex tape and you're a star. And I mean, think about it. I call it the Kim Kardashian effect, right? Everybody, okay, I'm joking about the sex tape, but I'm not joking about the sex tape because it's true. People just, you know, internet fame, boom, no talent, no talent whatsoever, and they're becoming internet stars. And I think that's dangerous for all of us. I also think it's dangerous because you have people that are doing things just looking for that internet fame.
I think you're exactly right. One, in terms of actual dangers in New York, we've seen these subway surfing incidents and things like that. But
well, people don't make it.
But you're exactly right. I mean, I've seen the same thing, and I'm sure you've observed the same thing in talk radio and in journalism, where it used to be to get a radio show, just to get one, let alone do well, you had to really hone your craft and practice and do well and kind of, pardon the expression, make your bones. Now, if you become a viral video sensation, you can be a millionaire commentator just doing that.
And don't know anything.
Right.
Now, in fairness, it's not easy to become an overnight star, you know, radio host, even on the internet, because you've got to have the numbers and you've got to be able to prove the numbers that are coming in. But I just find it dangerous, the road that we're going down. I mean, think about this seriously. Kim Kardashian, a sex tape is released. Some say intentional, some say it wasn't intentional. And she's rolled that to becoming a billionaire. Mm-hmm. Think about that for a second.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. You know, there's been a lot of talk about how every young person has a mobile phone and they're all the stars of their own reality show because they're making TikTok videos. They're making whatever other probably social media platforms that I didn't even know exist. They're making whole ecosystems on there. And that's been one of the things that's been blamed for the uptick in anxiety and depression among young people. And we've talked a little bit about this, but I read one article. I think it was in, I don't remember where, but basically it was, I think it was in the Atlantic or somewhere, that attributed to the uptick in anxiety and depression among young people, not necessarily to the smartphone, but to the decline of organized religion in America. Do you think there's anything to that, or you think it's both?
Maybe the decline has something to do with organized religion, but I do know that we need something nowadays because, you know, from the fight in St. Louis between the two girls, I can go on and on and on about bad things that are happening. We do need some type of structure, whether it's from religion or whatever it may be. And I do note that people are not going to church as much as they used to. Maybe that is part of the problem.
Right. It's an all-time low. If people want to comment on either of those, let me know. 800-848-9222. Before we let you out of here, Dominic, I have to ask you about some remarks that Tom Brady gave. Tom Brady, who retired, came back, then retired, is now, well, you guessed it, the comeback king of the NFL, might have one more run left in him. He was on a recent episode of Deep Cut with Vic Blends, and essentially he said he would consider joining a team for a playoff push if they had a quarterback emergency. This is Tom Brady.
I don't know. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Tom Brady's almost at the age where he could run against Biden and Trump for president. And he's talking about maybe coming back. What do you think? Is this just kind of people trying to make publicity from an off-the-cuff comment? Or do you think he actually has this in his head?
I think he has it in his body that if Tom Brady wants to play ball, he can ball. He's the perfect example of what I mean of somebody with talent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what he's done to condition his body in his 40s. The problem for Brady, I believe he's part owner in the Oakland team. I don't know if they're Vegas now. Vegas.
Right.
And if you're part ownership, you can't play. So that's why.
Okay, so it's probably just impractical.
Right, but he could sell his ownership, his part ownership. If Tom Brady wants the ball, every team in the NFL will say, Mr. Brady, come on, let's ball.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see him do an MJ, because when MJ came back and went to Washington, it wasn't pretty.
Well, but for starters, though, Michael Jackson's first comeback to the Bulls after he played baseball. That went pretty well. It was, I guess, the second comeback to the Wizards that he was not the same Michael Jordan.
I wonder if that was a Freudian slip. You said Michael Jackson.
You know what it is? I'm dealing with all these Michaels. Michael J. Fox, Michael Jordan.
That's true.
And yeah,
that's true.
Fair enough.
Because I don't think Michael Jackson is coming back.
No, you never know.
You never know. But so wait, that's right. Jordan went to baseball.
Right.
And it was a strike. So, because Chicago would have moved him up to the Frank, if you and I own the White Sox and Michael Jordan is in our minor league farm system, we're not going to bring him up just for the show?
Well, I don't think you can when he's batting 138 in Double A, right?
Yeah, but
how do you do that? How do you put a guy in the major leagues that's not even?
You and I have a meeting, and I say, Frank, if we bring him up to the White Sox, we're going to make $50 million more, well, and we bring him up.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Mets had a similar situation. It was not anywhere near the level of Michael Jordan, but they had a similar opportunity with Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, you know, went to try to play for the Mets.
They tried.
Yeah, and he went to spring training every year. They sold a ton of merchandise. He's just not a major league player. If you're not cutting it in Double A, even if you're Michael Jordan, even if you're going to sell out the ballpark and sell a lot of merchandise, I don't see how you can do that for a team that's competitive.
But we can milk it for 2 years if we're the owners. It's funny you mentioned Tebow. I was watching Netflix this weekend. Turned to this thing about University of Florida. And Tebow, I mean, this guy could run over a truck, but he couldn't throw the ball.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but the one thing I like is that he's strong and his family values.
I'm trying to get him on the show. Religious values.
And he's the type of person, in my opinion, that we need around the country. No. But Michael J. Fox, that's his name, right?
Right.
He is correct because back in his day, what was the name of the show?
Family Ties.
Family Ties. Real star, real talent. Today we have Kim Kardashian. Can you tell me what she's famous for?
Since you mentioned Kim Kardashian, right?
Kim Kardashian effect.
Let's talk about why anybody even knows who Kim Kardashian is, right?
I already told you.
Well, but even before that, we wouldn't even, because a lot of people can make sex tapes and you don't necessarily know who they are.
But she's attractive.
Right,
so.
But there are a lot of people with attractive amateur sex tapes.
But she's really attractive.
I had no idea you had
I'm just stating that she's really attractive.
So the only reason anybody even knows.
I'm not stating I watched the tape.
Of course not. Well, and if you did, it was purely for research purposes. But the only reason that anybody even knows her name or knew it even prior to the sex tape was because her father was Robert Kardashian, O.J. Simpson's attorney.
No, I don't think so. I think people knew her name because of Ray J, because he's like this clown,
who
she was in the sex tape with.
If she wasn't Robert Kardashian's daughter, she'd just be another woman that Ray J was having sex with, right? Like any other one.
But, I don't know.
Well, so anyway.
Because he was boasting from what I hear. Notice I said from what I hear.
Not what I see. But Robert Kardashian obviously was O.J. Simpson's best friend.
I saw the tape. Go ahead.
There was no doubt about that one. There's about as much doubt as whether you saw that tape as there is about whether O.J. Simpson killed two people.
You're right.
So Robert Kardashian was O.J.'s best friend.
Right.
And obviously with O.J. dying on Thursday, there's been a lot of look back at what happened 30 years ago with the double murder and with the trial. And I heard a conversation that you were having on your show earlier about race and the role of race and the media. And I thought it was an interesting conversation. Let's combine the three issues that we've just touched upon. Fame, athletics, and race. Here you have O.J. Simpson, who, whether or not he committed the murders, I happen to believe he did.
He did.
He demonstrated repeated flares of violence, right?
Yes.
And there was a movement to get his family to donate O.J.'s brain to medical science to study it for CTE. They said no, which I think honestly was a mistake, right? I mean, if O.J. had multiple concussions and he did exhibit not just the violence, but a lot of other symptoms of people that have this CTE, I really think the family, now I'm sure they have been through a lot through their lives, but the family is missing a tremendous opportunity to contribute to the furthering of something that could help a lot of people here.
I think the family's perspective is that they're going to put their thumb in society's eye and they're not going to do anything that would give society an answer, perhaps, to why this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're like, no, we're not going to do that. That's the end of it.
Yeah. I do wonder, we saw that the situation with the other football player who killed himself in prison.
And they did.
And they found that, right. You know, his brain was battered.
Hernandez.
Like crazy. Yeah, right. And also the pro wrestler, Chris Benoit, others, mm-hmm. another wrestler, Billy Jack Haynes, apparently just killed his wife. And, you know, you wonder if CTE is at least partly responsible for what a lot of these guys seem to be going through.
Well, they say it is.
Yeah.
They say, based on scientific evidence, that it is. We'll never know the answer in OJ's case. I guess we're all still waiting for him to hire the people to find out
the
who committed
killer,
the real killer.
Yes, well, we're waiting. Dominic, thank you. We'll see you tomorrow and appreciate everything.
So wait now, how can we get that fame, the Kim Kardashian
I'm not doing a sex tape with you, Dominic. Forget about that. Forget about that.
You wouldn't do one with me?
No. Sorry.
Even if it meant that we could walk out of it with like $25 million each.
I think especially if we could. No. No, thank you. That's why Kim Kardashian is where she is and I'm where I am.
Yeah,
Paris Hilton, same thing.
Yeah.
All right.
She releases a sex tape and look what happens.
Exactly.
She's a billionaire.
Exactly. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. So I thought Michael J. Fox's comments were interesting as well. You want to comment on any portion of our conversation, be my guest, 800-848-9222. Thank you, Dominic. Dominic Carter, if you're in the New York area, you can listen to him every morning from midnight to 1.
Wait a minute. I did not take your headset on Friday.
Trust me. Yes, you did.
I listened to you driving home, and you condemned me and said I took your headset.
Tony threw you right under the bus. I said, where are my headphones? And he says that guy who usually leaves half-consumed teacups and coffee cups, he walked out with it. That's what Tony said.
I'm driving home, and I'm like almost driving off the road, and you're like, he took my headset.
Yeah, you're looking at my headphones in your passenger seat that were next to it.
No, I make sure it doesn't say Frank mm-hmm. on the side of it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't believe me. It doesn't say Frank.
Right.
But now you can kick me out.
Yeah, I got my headphones, so we're keeping an eye on you, Mr. Carter. All right, 800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight. We'll continue straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel, and how you feel can impact your thoughts. Addressing your mind and body connection is the key to improving your overall wellness. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130. For an appointment or newbridgehealth.org.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
both of you. For a smile they can share the night. It goes on and on and on and on.
26 minutes after the hour, this is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. This is, of course, Journey, Don't Stop Believing, which is, if you've ever seen karaoke being performed or been in a place where they do karaoke, you have heard a karaoke version of this song. You know, it's funny. Whenever I hear this song, most people think of The Sopranos now because of the integral role that it played in the last episode. I think of that sketch from Family Guy where they're doing karaoke and they hear this song and one of them says, well, wait a minute, is that Journey? And they're at a funeral and they're carrying the coffin out and one of the pallbearers says, oh, is that Journey? And three of the pallbearers all run away. They leave the coffin there on the steps to go watch these guys sing Don't Stop Believing. And then the widow is crying. She's on the steps. She's holding, she's holding the casket. And then she hears, oh, wait a minute, that is Journey. And then she runs away too. Very funny and very much an indication of what a popular karaoke song this is. But it is also a birthday bumper music selection from Peter Junta. Peter Junta is a good friend, chief of staff to New York State Assemblyman Michael Riley, and just a great guy, very skilled political operative, and a nice guy in his own right. All right, happy birthday to you, Peter Junta. We're going to get to your calls in a moment, 800-848-9222. I want to welcome back Matt Blaze. Matt Blaze was out most of last week. Matt, I mentioned that a former colleague of yours, Tommy G, that you used to work with on the radio in New Jersey, had passed away, so I'm sorry about that. How did everything work out with his arrangements and everything?
It was a rough week. Thank you. I heard the spotlight that you did. It was very nice. And it was one of those things that happens, and it's life, and it sucks.
He was a very young man, too. I mean, you don't say whatever you don't want, but he wasn't unhealthy or anything that you were aware of.
No, he had just lost a lot of weight, but he had had, and this was public, too, because he was on the air in New Jersey when it happened. In 2008, he had bypass surgery, and they say this was some heart-related thing, medical thing. They didn't have an autopsy done, but that's where they left it at.
How long did you guys work together?
6 years.
And you guys stayed friends even after that, right?
Oh, yeah. I would talk to him three or four times a week.
Three or four times a week?
Yeah, he would call me as I was driving in. Not every night, but three or four times a week.
I don't even talk to you three or four times a week if we work together now.
That's right.
And we're counting the on-air discussions.
That is true.
I'm sorry. That's rough. Yeah. I only met him, I think, once or twice. He seemed like a great guy.
Yeah, wasn't he hounding you about me?
No, he was busting chops a little bit, but we had a nice conversation. For folks that are unfamiliar with him, you guys were on in New Jersey together. That's kind of where most of his radio career took place, in New Jersey.
Well, no. He actually started in New York. He was on Hot 97 before Hot 97 became the hip hop hot of every city. It was Hot 97 was a dance station in New York.
Oh.
He started there and then moved when they switched formats. He was actually on the Dr. Dre and Ed Lover from MTV, Yo MTV Raps. They had a morning show in New York. He was on that show as the commissioner, which was he used to go around to all the high schools in New York City and put together a whole, not a show, but they would go live and he'd be the guy there at the school and he would get on the air and basically berate Dr. Dre and Ed Lover for years. He did that, did the same thing on Z100 as the dean, and then went to talk radio in New Jersey.
So
he had a pretty big, long career. And he did he did song parodies. He did a thing for Curtis when Curtis was shot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did a thing that they played on the air for Curtis. He went to, and this was in 1992, he went to his daughter's kindergarten class and recorded them thanking Curtis for protecting them.
Well, but
which
that's
we
not,
have somewhere. I know.
That'd be interesting to hear. But I mean, that's not much of a parody to have a bunch of kids.
Well, that wasn't. But he did other song parodies.
Well, that's
the years.
That's a shame. I'm sorry to hear that. So you mentioned he had a daughter. I read that he had a wife. So he had a family and everything.
Oh yeah, he had two daughters, five grandchildren. His one grandchild was just born not too long ago. So yeah, he had a family, and he was very well liked by a lot of people. He was basically like the unofficial mayor of Manalapan, New Jersey. There were the mayor of Manalapan was at his funeral. The former mayor was there. He was very well liked and well known.
Well, yeah, that's a shame. And I mean, and don't say if you don't want, but did they know what the cause of death was?
No, they didn't. They did not say it. They just said it was a medical issue. And I know he had heart problems. I mean, not recently, but it could have been a sudden. It was a sudden thing. That's
gotcha.
That's all they said.
Well, that's really rough. Sorry to hear that. But it's good to have you back. We missed you. All right. Elias, by the way, I have to commend, did a very good job in your absence, I must say. Elias, thank you again for all your help. 800-848-9222. Let me say hello to William in Manhattan. Hi, William.
Yes, good morning, Frank. I just want to tell you, within O.J. Simpson, Don King, and the other one, Boy George, they didn't have bodyguards, and I was in private space with them. I didn't say hello. I felt their energy. Now, going to Michael J. Fox, he is right, because it's just like what you said the other day, a couple months ago, about the women that married Hugh Hefner. Well, once they marry that man, they're going to meet a younger man that's going to take them for their money. Now, I'm going to leave you with that one. And that's not a comedy joke, even though I'm a comedian. Enjoy your week.
Thank you, William. Appreciate that. Yeah, you know, it's funny. By the way, I don't know if I mentioned this at the time, but we were talking about this tell-all book that Hugh Hefner's widow did, in which she just talks about what a horrible person Hugh Hefner was. And not to redo the whole segment, but I thought it was a really rotten thing to do. I don't think anybody should do something like that. Basically get rich and famous marrying someone who you clearly, if what you're writing in the book, you don't love, and you're doing it essentially just to be a gold digger. And then as soon as he dies, by the way, all Hugh Hefner had asked her as he was dying is, please say nice things about me. That's all. That's all he had asked. And she couldn't even do that, because now there's an opportunity to get more wealthy and more famous by trashing him posthumously. But I want to, you know, give a shout out to Hugh Hefner's previous ex-wife, because one of them, I think the immediate one before that, came out and said exactly what I said. So I think you got to give her credit for not doing that. Crystal Hefner is the one that came out and trashed him. Kimberly Hefner came out and said, look, this is absurd. This is absolutely absurd. Now, I am sure a lot of what Crystal Hefner wrote in her book is true. At least some of it is. But Kimberly could have done the same thing. And she didn't. She chose not to. And you know why? I think she appreciated the fact that this was somebody that cared for her and made her wealthy and famous. So don't get me started on the I wasn't expecting to talk about the ex-wives of Hugh Hefner. So be it. You know what also is really interesting? My son is 2 years old. He's in preschool. And he has an Earth Day project. They call this an April family engagement project. This is what it says. This is what they send home to him. Dear families, happy spring. This month, we will be learning about Earth Day. For this month's family engagement, we're asking that you and your child decorate an Earth Day project. Please feel free to use materials around your house, such as paper plates, construction paper, tissue paper, paint, etc. As always, this is my favorite part of this. As always, we ask that your child does most of the work and you are there to guide them. This project is to allow your child to express themselves and their creativity, and then it gets into when the project is due and what recycled materials you have to use. Are they serious? He's two. They really expect him to do most of the work? Or as they say, they say, as always, we ask that your child does most of the work. If we give him whatever the materials are, construction paper, paint, newspapers, tape, there will be no work done. He'll throw it on the floor, put it in his mouth. So all this is an assignment for the parents. Now, I don't mind. You know, it's a fun thing. The whole family can work on it together. It's great. But don't say you expect the child to do most of the work themselves at two. I don't think Mozart was in a position to do most of the work himself at 2 years old. I think that was just silly. 800-848-9222. Speaking of items in the Morano household, we got our cat, our last remaining cat, Prissy, to the vet once. About 3 weeks ago. Got her whatever shots she was due, got her a checkup. And it was her first time ever at the vet. And my wife tells me on Thursday that her monthly pet insurance premium, which is still a great deal, I highly recommend it for every pet owner in America. Her monthly pet insurance premium has increased from $78 a month to $117 a month. That's a 50% increase. So she doesn't put in my wife does not put in a single claim for 7.5 years. Not one, because she didn't go to the vet in 7.5 years. And as soon as she puts in one, they raise our premium by 50%. Now, my wife called them to ask why and see if there's any way to challenge it. And they give her this nonsense answer that it's based on the age of the pet. 50%. 50% increase. And that the state, she repeated this, the woman my wife spoke to about 10 times, allows the increase this large. And basically, my wife is saying, okay, just because the state allows insurance companies to increase premiums by 50% doesn't mean you have to. We've used this insurance plan a total of once in this entire cat's life, and it increases 50% as soon as we do. Is it any wonder, because look, the stories about human insurance companies are just as bad, in some cases worse. Is it any wonder why everybody hates these insurance companies? And I say this as someone who's both had two parents working in insurance for many years. So I think it's just crazy. This is just crazy that you can bilk people this way. A 50% premium after going to the vet once, it's just not right. Not right at all. 800-848-9222 if you want to comment. 800-848-9222. Melvin is in the Boogie Down Bronx. Hello, Melvin.
Great. Hi. You talk about what's going on overseas, and the United States has no business being over here at all. This is a European, North Africa, and Asian conflict.
Wait, a European what?
This is a European, a North Africa, and an Asian, as a version of what's going on in Israel, of course. Great Britain pushed for the status of Israel.
Are we talking about health insurance or Michael J. Fox right here?
Unless you're ready to go back, I got drafted 55 years old. I'm the age of 74. The United States got no business being over there, because what is needs to be done, a water plan to be put in the United States, North America, and the United States got no business being put. All you got to look at is Korea.
Yeah.
Look at Korea.
Okay,
it's over
I will.
30,000 souls.
Thank you, Mel. I like Melvin because he's passionate and he adds oftentimes a different perspective from what I'm saying and from what a lot of the other people on the show say. And you can honestly tell that he's intelligent, but he's just, and I'm not trying to be insulting here, it's just so difficult to understand what he's saying that even if I don't know whether I'm agreeing with him or disagreeing with him. I just know that he's angry. He's angry at somebody, probably me. But I thank you for your service, Melvin, sincerely, to our country, as I appreciate everybody's service to the country. But I don't think that was a comment about pet insurance. I think it was a comment about the Middle East being on edge after these Iran attacks on Israel. And look, that is developing. We're going to keep an eye on that and see where that goes. All right. We'll continue with your calls in a moment. 800-848-9222. Straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight. It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Until the top of the hour, this is AC/DC. Thunderstruck, another Peter Junta birthday bumper music selection. I can honestly say, in my entire life, and I don't know how long these shows have gone on for, I think at least 22 years, I have never seen, and this is not because I'm on a high horse somewhere, but I have never seen 1 second of one episode of any edition of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette or the any kind of a Bachelor. I know they're popular. I know this is one of the most popular shows in America and has been for literally decades now. So look, you can't knock what's working, but it's not something I've ever seen. So last year, I thought what they were doing, it was interesting because they recognize that most of the people watching broadcast network television these days are seasoned citizens. The young people, they're more into streaming and that kind of thing. Broadcast network television, that's mostly the domain of folks that are 50 plus, 55 plus. So what they did with the Golden Bachelor, instead of having some hunk 28-year-old straight out of Central Casting that 20 beautiful women all fight over themselves to try and fall in love with, they instead picked a hunk 50-something-year-old. I don't know how old he was, but he was over the age of 55, I believe, to have someone that, you know, that he would get into a couple with. I don't know. Hey, Tony, have you seen any of these Bachelor shows?
No, I have not.
Matt, have you? You've got it. You've got a longtime companion there. I'm sure you've seen at least one.
I have not watched one of these Bachelor shows.
So the three
ever.
Of us have never seen one of them?
No. Well, I've watched other type shows that are like that.
Okay. All right.
But not The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
And Elias, if you've seen any, come in. If not, just stay in the cage we keep you in normally. So I have no idea what the premise of these Bachelor shows are. When you're selected, when you win and you get the rose for the Bachelor or the Bachelorette, is it expected that you're going to get married to that person, or is it just expected that you're going to be in a couple with that person? Do either of you know the answer to that?
Have no clue.
Okay, none of us know. All right, so we're coming from a place of total ignorance on this uniformly, which is nice that we're all admitting it. Normally, you listen to people on the radio, and they have no idea what they're talking about either, but they have no problem opining. Yeah. These guys that couldn't make their high school baseball team are criticizing Pete Alonso's swing on the radio, or people that couldn't find Gaza on a map literally 7 months ago, they're now foreign policy experts in terms of the Middle East. People that don't know today is tax day are explaining how tax reform works. So the difference, so nobody on the radio knows what they're talking about. The difference is we all just admit that we don't know what we're talking about, at least when it comes to The Bachelor or The Golden Bachelor. So the premise of this show, The Golden Bachelor, is that an older fella gets to begin a couplehood with one of these, whoever wins the show, whoever he picks, one of these beautiful older women. And the fella that was the Golden Bachelor was Jerry Turner. And they apparently fell in love on the first season of this show last fall before tying the knot in a televised wedding earlier this year. So they fell in love on a TV show and then got married on television. Anyone want to go and take a wild guess as to how their marriage is doing? Well, unfortunately, it has not worked out for Jerry Turner and Teresa Nist, and they are getting divorced. Jerry Turner told Good Morning America that Teresa and I have had a number of heart-to-heart conversations, and we've looked closely at our situation, our living situation, so forth, and we've kind of come to the conclusion mutually that it's probably time for us to dissolve our marriage. Get a divorce? The interviewer asked. Yes, Turner said. We've received so much love and support from so many people who watch The Golden Bachelor, and I don't think we can tell you how many people told us that it gave them so much hope. We want none of that to change for anybody. Yeah. Yeah. If you're getting your ideas about what a successful relationship is from a couple that get from a guy that gets to choose from a bevy of beautiful women and then pick one of those beautiful women out, and she's just thrilled to have been picked by the modern day 21st century Sultan, then you should not have your hopes dashed with this couple getting divorced. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. For starters, they couldn't, apparently the reason they're getting divorced, I guess the linchpin of it, I couldn't bring myself to finish any of the entire articles about this, is because they couldn't agree on where they were going to live. They're from different places, and that's all well and good when you're on a TV show because you're filming in the same place at the same time. But this will never work. This does not work. I'd be curious to know, have any of these couples that have fallen, quote unquote, in love for TV purposes, have any of them stayed together? I remember 26 years ago, there was a TV special. It was the most talked about thing in TV. It was Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire? This was hours worth of discussion on talk radio. There were ethical questions, media questions, legal questions. People say, I can't believe they're doing this. Fox, that's the network it was on. Fox has stooped to an all new low. And then now, that was a one-off at the time. Now, this is basically a weekly premise. This is every season. There's somebody poised to get married on television. So I don't know if you remember what happened on that Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. The same thing that happened with this Golden Bachelor couple is Darva Conger was chosen by the millionaire, Rick Solomon, to be his wife. And of course, as soon as the cameras were off, these two realized they didn't know one another and had no affection for one another. And of course, they got a divorce right away. Darva Conger got very famous, for at least for 15 minutes, and very wealthy. She posed for Playboy, speaking of Hugh Hefner. I'm sure she got paid. She got to go on with Oprah. And this is her explanation as to why that marriage didn't work out.
I guess I was kind of looking and thinking, you know, we don't know each other. This what? Is You're a television kidding. Show.
Yeah.
What we did was really crazy. We need to undo it. I did get the sense that maybe he thought this was serious. So as soon as I possibly could, I did, you know, tell him as gently and as kindly as I could. And he was upset. We did not really get along too well. And that's unfortunate. I don't wish him harm or you know, it was tough, though. I think neither one of us were at our best at that point in time.
I just don't understand the mindset of someone that goes on a TV show, as Darva Conger did, to get married to a stranger. And look, I know we did a whole segment on arranged marriages, and I was shocked at the number of people that called in and wrote to me saying how they've been in arranged marriages and it worked. But I think the people that get into an arranged marriage, especially in this day and age, which I honestly couldn't see myself doing and wouldn't want to do, honestly. But it's based on a lot of history, a lot of cultural history, a lot of shared cultural history, a lot of religious traditions, and a lot of common values, even if you don't know this person. When you fall in love with someone on a television show, it's make-believe. It's totally make-believe. And I really think these shows, look, they're not going to change them because of how popular they are, but I think they're a little irresponsible. Honestly, I think they set up for men and women unrealistic expectations of what couples are supposed to do and what couples are supposed to be like. And then you're also playing games with the people that are on these shows. Because when the cameras are off and all of a sudden all your dates are not paid for and you have to figure out things like money, like relationships, like who's got children, like, you know, the things that every couple has to figure out. I think all of a sudden you realize that it's not make-believe. But on television, it is. So I'm sorry for anybody that has to go through a divorce, but I view this as almost more like a breakup than a divorce. I think it's ridiculous, quite frankly, that they're going to do this show again and again and again. And I would venture to guess that the same thing will keep happening. 800-848-9222. Neil, what's on your mind?
So you're telling me that if Gal Gadot wants to marry me, it's not going to work out?
Give it a shot, Neil. Give it a shot. I'm not sure you would be the one to break it off.
You know what? You're 1,000% right, Frank. 1,000%. Anyway, I wanted to talk about the pet insurance, Frank. You know, you just happen to be in the wrong spot. I mean, your neighbor could have insurance with the same company, have a sick dog, and they could be spending thousands of dollars on it. And, you know, it's just unfortunate. What do you say to the person that lives in Nassau County that pays a high property tax for schools and they don't have a kid that's going to school?
Well, I don't like that either. Right. Or anywhere else that happens. I don't like that. As soon as you put in a claim, and I don't think this is unique to pet insurance. I've heard of homeowners that do the same thing. I've heard of auto insurance that does the same thing. As soon as you put in a claim, they just jack up your rates exorbitantly. Now, OK, I can understand raising the rates 10%, 15%, 20%. But to raise it 50%, Neil, it seems a bit excessive.
No, I agree with you, Frank. Listen, I haven't had an auto accident since I started driving in 1970. And I turned 71 and my insurance went up a couple hundred bucks. I called the broker. They said it's because of your age. So What am I supposed to say? Got nothing to do about it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, if you would have died at a much younger age, you'd be saving a lot of money on auto insurance. I guess that's the best we could say, Neil.
You're right, Frank. I was also thinking of little Carmine when he has that project in school. I want to bring in that ass man license plate and tell everybody he's a doctor.
There you go, proctologist. Thanks, Neil. 800-848-9222. Robert, what's on your mind?
Hey, how about Married at First Sight? Do you ever see that one?
No, but I mean, based on the title, it sounds exactly the same as what I have a problem with a lot of these other shows.
Probably. The two people meet each other, and the idea was it was like a social experiment that two people, total strangers, who had never even laid eyes on each other, could marry right away. They went from 0 to 1,000, and there was this big build-up to each of the matches.
So how many couples have gotten married through that show? Do you have any idea, Robert? Ballpark?
I used to watch it for a while. At least several did.
Well, and to your knowledge, how did those marriages work out?
Only one lasted, and it was for at least a few years, if I remember right. And then I stopped watching TV, basically.
Yeah, well, radio's better anyway, Robert. Yeah, Robert, yeah. I appreciate that. Thank you, Robert. I think these shows are ridiculous, and I think they're not. Look, if you're watching it just for what it is, entertainment, then great. I watch pro wrestling. I'm not going to go out and power bomb my neighbor, right? But if you're thinking and you're going even on a subconscious level, thinking that this is how relationships are supposed to work, I think that's very dangerous. Dave is in Las Vegas listening on KDON. Dave, we've got a minute here. It's all yours.
Okay, thank you. There's a veteran out here, a longtime guy with the last name of Bono, and he brought up one interesting thing as far as America's Got Talent and a show like that, is they take these people with, you know, with the, you know, using auto-tune and stuff like that, magnify their careers. They sign a big contract, whether it's out here or whatever, and then they really actually do then at that point find out exactly what the real world's around. They're not really talented, and they have to descend, you know, through the ranks and finally find out, you know, where their level is.
Yeah, I get that, Dave. Dave, thank you. I think it's even worse when it comes to relationships and when you're dealing with things like marriages and divorces. It's real people's lives and families' lives that are at stake. I don't think it's a good idea at all. All right, it's tax day. Let's talk taxes. In the meantime, help control the pet population. Get your dog or cat spayed or neutered.